If you have your Bibles, please join me in Colossians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Going back, looking at last week, we were told to honor the name of Christ. And really, Paul puts this, I think this has to go first before we get into these household codes. And I say codes, I mean how we operate within the family. And of course, the extended family, the church. Paul said in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed. And we talked about the fact that how we speak and how we act reveals our theology. And the character, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we live day to day. And anything that we do or say, it should be done in the name of the Lord. Now, does that mean we do it perfectly all the time? No, it does not. But that should be the exception, not the rule. And then Paul closed out verse 17 by saying, giving thanks to the Father through him. We have so much to be thankful about. I don't want to relitigate that from last Sunday, but our lives should be very thankful to God. And then we got into the first step. And I think that honor the name of Christ, I can't say this enough, that is the baseline for when we start talking about the relations of the husband and wife, the husband and children, and how those dynamics go. If that is out of kilter, it's not going to work. So last week we looked at the fact in verse 18, wives, respect your husbands. And that word submission means to come under, but it is not a command. Although God said it, and therefore we need to do it. And it's a voluntary. So your relationship, ladies, your relationship to God is only as good as your relationship to the Lord. So very, very important. And then in verse 18b, he says, as fitting to the Lord. And so the ladies really, they submit to Christ and they submit to their husbands. And it's not submit as you become a punching bag, you have no say, you have to keep quiet. That's not what Paul's talking about. Now we get into the husbands. And Paul says, husbands, love your wives. It's not original, it's in the scripture. So it was an easy point to pull out. Husbands, love your wives. Aner is a man married to a woman. And the word love is agapao. We've seen that word before. To have love for someone or something based on sincere appreciation and high regard. It refers to tender affection. It means that you have care, that you are always doing something for her. It is a self-sacrificing love. It is a love that puts her first, you second. And that's exactly the way it is in our relationship with Christ. He's first, I'm second. Ladies, and your relationship to your husbands, he's first, you're second, and therefore we do these things. And this is so important because, yeah, when you're young, you fall in love. There's a, oh, he's so pretty, she's so pretty. We love each other. And then we go through life, and life beats us up, right? Life beats us up. And that love is then challenged by many factors. But husbands, your love for your wife should remain constant. Let me say this with all sincerity. Your wife is first. You are second. And you say, well, Pastor, that's not what it says. Yes, it does. Love your wives. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her to make her holy. Our paradigm, if you will, men, our paradigm, how we live our lives, First of all, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He went to the cross for the church. He gave himself willingly on the cross for the church, so that we, by virtue of that act, could be in the presence of God someday. So, yes, do I believe the husbands are the head of the house? Yes, I do. But I don't believe it's totalitarian rule. I believe it should be based on love. And by the way, love is at the center of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves. Therefore, husbands, you must. And I say this to the men because I'm married. And I'm not going to get away with anything from the pulpit when it comes to my relationship with my wife. Love is at the center. And it's not just physical love. It is a love that is self-sacrificing. It is a love that cares. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner." Now, ladies, don't get all excited. There's some things that men can do that women cannot do. "Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Now, that's interesting. Peter puts an interesting thought there. Men, maybe there are times in your life where your prayers are hindered because you're not taking care of your wife. You're not loving her the way Christ loved the church. And so sometimes, Peter says it right there, so that your prayers will not be hindered. I wonder, would God answer prayers of somebody who is not caring for the most precious thing in their life? Could be. It could be. I was on Google this week at work, and I came across this article. I thought it was very good. It's a practical article. Men, you should write these down, because I need to write them down too, by the way. 5 ways to make your wife feel loved. 1, figure out what makes her feel cherished and do it. Many of you have lived with your wives for a very long time. You know what makes her feel cherished. A second thing they brought up was, and this is tough for men, I'm going to tell you this right now, it's tough for men. The article said, and I'm a pastor and I speak from the pulpit every Sunday. My wife tells me sometimes, "Your words flow from the pulpit," but the second one was engage in deep conversation. Ladies, men, we have trouble with this. I mean, just being honest. But I do think that we should try to engage them. Here's another one. 3, find ways to have fun together. Find ways to have fun together. Now, next Sunday, Audrey and I fly out for South Dakota. We're going to see Mount Rushmore. It's been planned since June. I'm going to have a fill-in preacher here. Please do not miss church. That's just kind of a throw out there. Just because I'm away doesn't mean maybe you stay away because I'm here. I don't know. Yeah. Have fun. Life's pretty short. Life's pretty short to worry about the little things in life. 4, they wrote, pray for her and let her know that you are praying for her. I'm going to encourage all men this week, and myself, take 5 minutes a day. Take 5 minutes a day and pray for your wife. and then text her. Sometimes, and don't use the speaker because sometimes, you know, when you speak it, it comes out all wrong. So make sure you actually type it in. I just prayed for you. And the fifth one that they said, these are five ways. Let me go back over. Figure out what makes her feel cherished and do it. Engage in deep conversation. Find ways to have fun together. Pray for her and let her know that you're praying for her. And the last one I think is pretty important. Show gratitude. Show gratitude. Tell your wife, I really appreciate the things that you do. And by the way, men, you guys can cook. You guys can do laundry. I got confidence in you. You can fold clothes. I remember an Everybody Loves Raymond episode where he's trying to get out of everything and she goes, how can a man with thumbs not fold clothes? Show gratitude. Take her out to dinner. A thank you dinner. I think those are pretty important. Figure out what makes her cherished. Engage in deep conversation. Find ways to have fun together. Pray for her and let her know you're praying for her and show gratitude. Wives, husbands, love your wives. Gune, a woman married to a man. Y'all remember the wedding day, right? The day you're all excited. You're walking. The day we got married, I was already there with my army buddies, and Audrey was walking down. We were getting ready to get married. That's the beginning. Then things get difficult, and life happens. And it is, I've done, several of you in this congregation right now, I've done your weddings. And I'm so glad that you guys are still living for Christ and that you're doing well. So the command was, husbands, love your wives. That's really not open to debate. That's not open to, oh, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. That is a command. That is an imperative in the Greek language. It means that you do it. And not just do it because you have to do it. Maybe you need to re-fall in love with your spouse. I don't know. But Paul goes on to say, secondly, husbands, love your wives, and then the word gentleness. Do not be harsh with them. Pikrino. And that word harsh is a very strong word. To have bitter resentment or hatred towards someone. To be embittered. To have hate. And let's do something real here. Husbands and wives are going to get into arguments. Some of those arguments may be heated. But the worst thing that can happen from that argument is that you go away hating. And Paul says, you know, and men, we have such a huge responsibility. We're supposed to be the caregivers. We're to treat our wives with gentleness and compassion and caring and love. I bet you in the churches in America today, there are women who their husband looks one way at church and another way when they get home. That should not be. That should not be. You should be the same at church as you are at home. It should be that your wife is first. And by the way, there was a lady in my last church. I'm not going to mention names. She came in with bruises. I told her to leave him. She didn't. Men, there is never an acceptable time to hit a woman. Ever. Ever. It was all I could do to hold back. Because I knew him. And I'll be honest with you. I wanted to take him out behind the shed. You want to hit a woman that's defenseless? Try that with me. That won't work. He might get one or two good hits on me, but that'd be it. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. But this is not a 50-yard dash. This is a marathon. And there's times I've driven Audrey crazy. How long are you going to let that dish sit there? Well, it's going right now. Do some chores around the house. That shows gentleness. To say, is there something I can do to make things better? Warren Wiersbe said this, a happy marriage does not come automatically. It does not. The gushy, young, love feelings, those go away in about 15 years. Give or take. That got you, huh? It is something that must be worked at all the time. As we walk with Christ in submission to Him, we have no problem submitting to one another and seeking to serve one another. Wives serve the husbands. Husbands serve the wives. But where there is selfishness, my way, I want this my way. When there's selfishness, there will be conflict and division. If there is bitterness in the heart, there will eventually be trouble in the home. Amen. Again, this is a struggle, but I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful struggle. God gave you your wife, and now you have this lifelong partner to walk with you through the storms of life. And it's just, it's a long way. And I think this really comes into play. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As I submit to Audrey, she submits to me, the life grows closer and closer. And it's kind of like you start here, and as you walk together in Christ, eventually the two become one flesh. There's times that I'll be thinking something and I'll say it, and Audrey said, well, I was thinking the same thing. I guess great minds think alike. Although I don't know about that. But so, now, as far as the home goes, that's the relationship between the wife and the husband, and the husband and the wife. The wife submits voluntarily of her own free will. And men, you can make it a lot easier for your wife to do that by doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is loving them the way Christ loved the church. Men, if you don't take anything else away from it, other than the 15-year things when it dies out, that is so, 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 so important. Now, as far as the kids, we're going to get into that. Okay, you girls, listen up. Husbands, love your wives and be the leader at home. Be the leader at home. Paul says it this way, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. All you kids, take note. The word obey is an interesting word, hupokuo. That sounds weird. To obey on the basis of having paid attention. To obey or obedience. Now, let me read this again. Children, obey your parents in everything. Years ago, it's no secret, you've probably heard me say this before. Years ago, when I was about 8 years old, my dad walked out on us. My mom, this was the late 60s, struggling to make payments. We didn't even have central air conditioning. My Uncle Bob came over and we had a brick wall. It was a smaller house. And he took out the bricks and he put a little window unit in. And this is Uncle Bob right here. That's Aunt Lois and that's Uncle Ray. I understood about every third word he said. Ain't gonna get no dangles. I was like, what? What'd you say? Now, Uncle Bob, one day, we were horrible. I'm not gonna lie to you. My brother and I were horrible. When Dad left, we knew better than anything. And one day, my mom came in a room and she said, hey, I need you to clean your room up. And I was laying in bed, listening to radio. Yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. And about 20 minutes later, she came back and she said, hey, I told you to clean your room. And I said, I told you, I'll get to it. Gosh! And about 20 minutes later, I hear the front door open. We had coquina floors, which are hard floors. And I'm in my room, and I hear the front door open, and I hear boot steps. My Uncle Bob lived right around the corner. My Uncle Bob, and I told him, this was my stepfather's funeral, and I told him about that, and he said, you left out one part. I'll get to that in a minute. My Uncle Bob, he stood in the doorway, and I looked at him because I was scared to death of him. He was a Korean War vet, fought on the front lines. He passed away earlier this year. He stood in the doorway and he goes, I hear we have a problem. I got up from the bed, kind of sat on the side. There's no problem here, Uncle Bob. None at all. None at all. He looked at me and he said, stand up, boy. And I stood up. He grabbed me by the seat of my pants and put me up over the bed. He took his belt out. Bam, 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 five times. And he threw me on the bed. He said, you've got 1 hour. I will be back in 1 hour and this room better be clean. Okay. Okay, don't beat me anymore, child abuse. No. I'll tell you, that was the cleanest my room has ever been. He came back over and he goes, if I have any more problems, your mom knows my phone number, I'll be back. It's probably why I went in the Army. He told me at the funeral, he said, I used that in the sermon for my stepfather. He told me in the after the sermon, he said, hey. I said, yes, sir. Still call him sir. He said, you left out one part. And I said, what part did I leave out? He said, when I took the belt and went like this. There were times, and I get it, there were times we aggravated our mom to death. One time she threw a chair at us because she was so frustrated with us. Children, listen to your moms and your dads. Yeah, it's amazing that one little event in my life stayed with me now for years. I just still remember looking at him in that doorway, standing there like this, and I was like, ugh. In my mind, I'm going, idiot, 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 idiot. He also told me, he said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I don't believe it. Yeah. Everything, pos, everything. Cleaning your room. Don't make me. Manners. Say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Chores. Do your chores around the house. Don't do what Poppy did. Homework. Anything that your parents tell you to do, do it because it pleases the Lord. Let me give you kids some scriptures here. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that it may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor. Show respect. Here's another one. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And that's a direct quote from Exodus, by the way. And you can see here how, and I think this is important too. Children see what their parents do. And that can have a huge influence on their spiritual walk. If they see mom and dad fighting all the time, not loving each other, not attending church, not doing the things, then it should not shock us that they act up. Even Christian kids will act up. I was a C&E Christian, Christmas and Easter. Although I later went to church with Larry McCabe, my friend, down at the church across from the Magic Market. That's what we called it. Richard Melnick says this. Again, Paul spoke to the ones who was to submit first. That's the children. Because he addressed children, he must have expected children to be present when the text was read aloud in a congregation, much like we're doing here this morning. The church meeting included people of all stations of life. Race, age, economic standing paled in significance when people were in Christ. So he's writing this knowing, and by the way, Richard Melnick, I didn't have space to put this, but he also added this, and I agree with it, that obey is stronger than the word submit. Submission is voluntary. Obey is a command. So it really is, I do think, and I hope we modeled right, I do think kids look at the parents. And it's so important that they are raised, particularly speaking from somebody that was not raised in a Christian home. I think it's very, very, very important that we model for our kids what it looks like to follow Christ. And you, again, don't go out of here thinking, Pastor Mike said I got it. No, we're going to make mistakes. My goodness, I probably made at least two mistakes with my kids. So keep that in mind. And then lastly, fathers, verse 21. So husbands, love your wives and be the leader at home. Ladies, your husband is the leader. Just as Christ is the leader of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. But it's supposed to be done in love, and it's supposed to be equal submitting. Now, Paul writes this, and then we'll close. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This word provoked means to make resentful or become bitter. I had a friend growing up, Ray Smith. He passed away a few years ago. We were same grade, grew up from basically first grade. His dad was very harsh. Almost to the point of being abusive. Mr. Smith told me one day to get out of the house. I was like 12. He told me to get out of the house because he had to take care of Ray. Ray grew up with that environment. When he was over at our house, it was like he could breathe. What a horrible, horrible, horrible way to grow up. And I remember his dad wouldn't let him do anything. Nothing. When we go on a camp out, Ray, can you come? No, my dad won't let me. And Ray grew up with a lot of problems. And one of them were drugs. And I think later, we had visited Ray down there. I couldn't believe Mr. Smith. And his stepmother wasn't any better. They were putting him down all the time. Every time I was around them, they were harsh to him. And I think it damaged him. You don't realize the damage that can be done to children. And by the way, pray for kids that are in that type of environment. How horrible to say, well, he wouldn't even give him, he made him do work and wouldn't even give him an allowance. He was an accountant. His house was better than ours. It had carpet. It had air conditioning. But every time Ray came over, it was like he was free. He was just a bitter guy. You know, you watch your best friend grow up like that, it affects you. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. I still wonder, and I text his wife like once a year just to see how she's doing. I just wonder, what would have happened if Ray would have grown up in a loving home? Now, granted, as you get older, you can't blame everything on the parents. But in this case, yeah. Because it set his life in one direction. And of course, he got into drugs, and I think he wasn't on drugs when we met him, at least not that I know of. But he had a heart attack. When we were 59, he had a heart attack and died. He was in poor condition. And Ray would tell me often, I don't even want to go home. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Ephesians 6, 4, we just looked at that. And then Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Back when our girls were growing up, we used to eat dinner at the kitchen table. And I would talk to the girls about boys, about life, and maybe a little too straightforward at times. I did tell them that boys are the enemy. Maybe that wasn't right, but that's the way I did it. Discouraged, to become disheartened, and in essence, lack motivation. You can crush a kid. You can sometimes crush a kid when you're not even there. And I didn't mind sharing some of my personal stories this morning because this was more personal to me and what I saw growing up. If you're going to, and I get it, there's going to be times when you're upset with your kids. But don't let the upsetness last for a long time. They still need to see that you love them, that you care for them, that you want to take care of them, and you build them up, and you make them stay the course when they sign up for stuff. I won't bring it up. Max Anders says this, just as the authority of the husband is not to lead to harshness with the wife, the authority of the fathers is not to lead to that kind of behavior that will embitter them. Embitter means to provoke or to irritate. The Christian father is not, underscore, not to overcorrect or harass his children. And by the way, don't pick favorites. That's a no-no. Or they will become discouraged, which refers to a listless, sullen resignation and a broken spirit. And you know, in spite of our upbringing, it wasn't perfect. But it gave me a picture of what I don't want to be as a father. And like I said, I probably made tons of mistakes, but my heart was in the right place. All right. Husbands, love your wives. If I put it that way, just husbands, love your wives. Care for them. Take care of them. Watch over them. You're their provider. You're their caretaker. Love them appropriately. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, help your kids grow up knowing the Lord and following the Lord. And fathers, don't be harsh with your children.